This episode of Enough is brought to you by Squarespace, everything you need to create an amazing website. We're huge fans of Squarespace at 70 Decibels, and I want to take this opportunity to tell you about a fantastic new offer from them. When you sign up for any annual plan, which gives you extremely reliable web hosting and powerful website creation tools, Squarespace will give you a custom domain absolutely free. You choose the domain name you want, you can choose from .com, .net, .org, and more, and it remains yours. You don't need to jump through any hoops with changing A records or C names. Squarespace will take care of all of this for you right out of the box. And what about email? Well, they bundle in Google Apps integration too. This fantastic new offer even further rounds out Squarespace to make them the perfect place to start your new website or blog. Squarespace's plans start from as little as $8 a month, and you can find out more by going to squarespace.com/70decibels to start your 2-week free trial. And if you use the offer code 70decibels5 at checkout, you'll get 10% off your first purchase. I want to thank Squarespace for supporting the 70 Decibels podcast network. I urge you to go check out what they do, because you'll be supporting us as well. Now let's get on with Enough.
Hey there, Michael.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I am dandy. How are you?
We discussed before the show. I'm kind of meh, but I'm hoping to turn that meh around because we actually have a very, very special guest on to talk about a subject that we discussed briefly in a previous episode, and all too brief. I wanted to discuss it a little bit more, and that would be your wonderful better half, Sammy.
Hello.
Hello, Sammy Furs. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
That's excellent. What episode was it? What episode number was that where I talked about, like, you know, like,
I think it was episode 130. I have in my head that's what it was.
Episode 130, yeah. I have to run. 130.
Gosh, I love it. Sammy knows your podcast.
I've done my research.
Awesome. She does listen.
All right. So, I talked a bit about, my training for the GoRec Challenge, things like that. And towards the end of it, I started to talk about, like, running and barefoot running and things like that. And, but I didn't, we were going fast. We didn't have a lot of time. And I brought up the fact that Sammy recently ran your first marathon.
Yes, my first.
And not having ever really run any other races before, correct? Like no 5Ks, no. Or 10Ks,
well,
or anything.
I'd run a 5K race before, but that was the year prior. And I also did the half marathon in preparation, but to be honest, those were just kind of all on the wing. I wasn't really thinking about it. It was just wanted to do it. But marathon is the first kind of one I've actually trained for properly.
Well, what I find interesting about this, and the reason I wanted to have you on, is because I very much, as I discussed previously, I'm kind of a beginner at all of this. And so, for one thing, it will be nice for me to kind of talk about your kind of beginner's mind experience with a lot of this stuff. And but the other thing I kind of wanted to talk about is kind of the mental game that goes into it. I think ultimately that's what it's all about. That is,
yeah,
you know, it's less about whether you're physically capable, and, you know, although that's important, but also, but there's a lot of, like, being mentally capable to do it that goes into it.
I mean, Mike knows mentally how much of a struggle it was, especially the closer it got to it. I don't want to kind of like jump the gun on her, but the week before was possibly one of the biggest mental struggles I think I've ever had to do. Like, it was terrible. It was like PMT for running. I was crying all the time, and I was just constantly fighting in kind of in my head, you know, whether I was actually ready for it, and kind of why I'd put myself in this position, and calling myself crazy
there were a lot of conversations, long conversations that we had to have, where I was saying everything was going to be okay.
Yeah.
I was freaking out. I was completely and utterly freaking out. Wasn't I?
Well, it was, I want to just back up a little bit. So first of all, how long have you been running? Why did you get into running?
I think it's a little over 2 years now. But it took a little while for me to actually really start enjoying and loving running. I mean, I first started when I joined up the gym and I really wanted to lose weight because I was like 11 and a half stone and really unhappy with kind of how I was looking and stuff. So it was really kind of just to lose weight at first. And I've gone on the treadmill, you know, I'd do about kind of 5-10 minutes on there and, you know, really kind of work up a sweat and be really, really happy with myself for lasting that long. And about, I don't know, 1K or something like that. And then I just kind of slowly started building it up. And, you know, first of all, I'm trying to set a goal of kind of, well, I'm going to try and last kind of 15 minutes on the treadmill this time. And that just kind of gradually got up to 30 minutes. And I was really kind of starting to enjoy it. And I kind of enjoyed setting myself that challenge of trying to better myself and trying to kind of get a longer time and trying to do faster or trying to go for longer. And then I kind of did the first half marathon in Brighton. I hadn't trained for it. I just wanted to see if I could do it. And that, I think from there, that's when I think my passion for running really, really started. I just the atmosphere was, well, of doing that half marathon and seeing people kind of doing the same as me. And I just kind of wanted to get in that little kind of running club and kind of be like everyone else and really kind of. And I started running outside a lot more as well, kind of getting the feel of that. And it's just really good for de-stressing, definitely.
So you don't subscribe necessarily to like any particular running style or, aren't like me, you know, kind of, especially lately, looking through those running magazines and what?
I couldn't do it barefoot, not at all.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, barefoot's more of a, I mean, even the barefoot runners don't always necessarily run barefoot, right? They, you know, especially if they're running in the street, they have some sort of protection on their feet. They just, there's a movement. I would almost say it's very trendy right now within the running world of minimalist running, as it's called. But basically, shoes that are designed with basically a zero rise and a nice open toe box and open, but like wider toe box and there basically
are those, there are those shoes that are called Vibe fingers or something.
Yeah,
they're like Vibra five
fingers, right? Yes, that are kind of molded like feet and have like toes built into them and such. But basically, to give you the protection of a shoe, but give you the sensation of running on a flat, solid, ground and being able to feel the ground. And there's various kind of, evolutions of this various style. Everyone's got like their different little thing. There's, natural running, pose, and barefoot is just simply a style, right?
Yeah.
And minimalist is kind of a style, but they all basically are about the same thing, which is that our best, most natural, most injury-reductive way of running is that which we are born naturally to do. You know, if you look at a child, like I spend lots of time watching Beatrix run.
Yeah, same with my little sister, Sophia. Runs everywhere.
Exactly.
It's just to the next room.
yeah. Kids love to run, and they run everywhere. And if you pay close attention to their style, it is nothing like we run as adults. There's a lot of reasons for that. You know, we're taller, our legs are longer, we've got more weight, that sort of thing. But I think another part of that is just simply is certainly driven by the shoes that we wear, and also how we are taught to run a lot of times in our, PE classes and things like that. And that
Most of my kind of running that when I started anyway was that of when we were kind of doing athletics in school and it was more kind of sprinting. and such like that. I had my kind of PE teacher's kind of voice in my head as I was running. You know, don't clench your fists, and you know, long strides and everything like that.
Right, exactly. Whereas the truth is, if you watch a child run, they tend to run more on the midfoot. You know, kind of the ball of their foot is where they strike, and then their heel comes down and then pops back up because they have a slightly forward lean and a much shorter stride. You know, it's not just because they're kids and their legs aren't as long, but also just simply because naturally that's the way that we run, and we're kind of taught to run in a different way. And especially when it comes to sprinting, right? So I guess all I'm saying is that none of these things were really kind of, you know, like when you got into running, you didn't start like reading all sorts of running books and running magazines trying to do all that.
At all. No, I didn't really think about my running method until I was kind of about a month or so into my marathon training, and I thought that I should probably get it looked at because I was getting a few kind of niggles, and I didn't really know if I was wearing the right trainers and such. I mean, I had these really kind of crappy Adidas ones that just kind of blistered my feet and really made my ankles hurt. So I kind of went to kind of a shop called Runner's Need. And they kind of do kind of like a mini gait analysis, and they kind of see how you run. And I really severely underpronate, which means I kind of run on the very kind of outsides of my feet.
Yeah, yeah.
So, which is quite prone to kind of ankle injuries and such. So I needed a lot of stability and a lot of kind of comfort and stuff in my shoes. So, yeah, they suggested some good Nike ones. Well, they did kind of give me some Asics, but I didn't really kind of get on with those, so I went for the Nikes because I'm a girl and I like to go for my fashion.
I got you. So do you happen to know what model you have? What you're running?
You know, I don't. I did kind of up until about a couple of months after, and someone asked me, and I hadn't got a clue. I mean, I know that they're pink, but no, I can actually tell you the model. I just know they kind of just handed them to me and kind of wished me luck, really. So went off with those, and they've done me really, really well. I mean, I haven't really had any kind of major injuries or anything with them. And my feet, I mean, with a little bit of tape as well, they don't really blister, and they're really, really comfortable. They did me really well for my marathon.
So, you know, you have the right shoes, you have the right, you know, you did the half marathon, and that flipped a kind of switch to say, yeah, you know, I think I really like this. I think I want to train for something bigger. So coming up on the marathon, you're really super nervous.
I was really until the closer it got mm-hmm. to it. I mean, it's like I hadn't quite... It hadn't quite sunk in of what I was about to do and what I was about to put my body through. I think it was, about, I don't know, maybe as little as kind of 4 weeks leading up to it. And then that's kind of when it kind of kicked in, and I wasn't quite sure if I'd done the right thing. I mean, it was all a bit of fun kind of up until then. I was just excited to be doing it, and I was kind of happy to, I've met kind of a lot of people through Twitter as well, and they were all kind of talking about it. A lot of people who either training for the Brighton Marathon or the London Marathon was just a week after. And it was just all very exciting kind of at the beginning, really.
Yeah. And then...
and I talked about it.
So it began to sink in, and you were, you know, you were nervous and worried that you had kind of bitten off more than you could chew. At what point did you kind of push through that barrier and say, screw it, I'm just getting out there, I'm going to do it?
It was when I'd arranged to meet up with one of these wonderful ladies through Twitter called Sian. And we'd been talking a lot, and then we started emailing each other. And then we decided that we'd meet up, it was about 4 weeks beforehand in Brighton to do a long run together. Because we've both been struggling. I mean, we're getting to about 10 miles quite easily, but it's just that mental bit, kind of pushing yourself to kind of go further. I mean, after a while, it does become boring. I've been running for 2 hours, kind of thinking, okay, well, everyone else is having fun.
And I'm just saying, this sucks.
I mean, yeah, turning down plans. I was like, oh, no, sorry, I can't do that because I've got to go do my long run. I mean, it was getting boring. So, yeah, we arranged to meet up. We went to Brighton and we kind of started running. And we just talked like the whole way through. And before we'd known it, we'd done 3 hours together. And it just felt like a whole big weight had lifted off me. I kind of thought, I could definitely do this now. You know, just having her support. And she was really, really good. And she, you know, we shared tips and advice and we just kind of worked out that we were really good for each other. And it was so strange how both of our paces and our kind of mentalities were kind of just completely matched. It was like we were just a puzzle. We just kind of came together and we were just perfect for each other, really. The perfect, so kind of like running soulmates almost.
All right, calm down.
Well, so what I find interesting about that, relating to my own experience in prepping for the Gorakh Challenge, which is coming up this Saturday as we record this, that I will not be participating in now, thanks to my injury.
I'm really sorry to hear about that, Pat. By the way.
That sucks.
We'll probably talk about that, right, in a minute, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, let me catch people up to speed. So, I broke a couple of toes and bruised several bones in my foot.
You dropped the bricks on it, right?
Not the bricks. Okay. So, here's what happened. I went to the gym for a, you know, an upper body and core workout, you know, as part of my training, with my friend who's doing the challenge with me, and you know, he's much more, you know, experienced with the gym stuff than I have. You know, as I explained on episode 130, I've been practicing. You know, I've been mainly training on my own, basically with whatever I have lying around to you know, and doing whatever exercises I can kind of fit into my day and such. Mm-hmm. You know, we had gone and worked out previously and he, you know, led me through a couple hours worth of workout. And by the end of it, oh my God, I was in so much pain. I could barely move for like days afterwards. And I was like, oh my gosh, this sucks. There's no way I'm going to be able to last. And that was a few months ago. So here we are at the gym. You know, I've been working out at home and I'm not sure how prepped I am. And so we basically set up this circuit where, it was pull-ups, then squat, then bench, then jerk.
Real hardcore circuit then.
yeah. Bench, then jerk. Squat, bench, jerk.
I barely understand any of the words coming out.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So basically five different things. I forget what the fifth was, but it doesn't matter. So we get through the first circuit, you know, I do the pull-ups and then I move on to the squat machine and then I do the squats and then I move on, da, da, da. And we had set up everything with our weights ahead of time. Well, at the gym, there's no way really to kind of put a sign on saying don't, you know, somebody's, you know, doing a circuit and is going to be using this, don't jump in between. So, of course, someone had jumped into the squat machine in between and changed out the weights. And I hadn't really noticed. And so when I got back around to the squat, the weight was different. I was, shoot. So I go around to take off. There was a 25-pound weight, and there was a 10-pound weight in front of it. And I didn't see the 10-pound. It was a small black weight in front of this very large black, right? And yeah, I need bifocals and I don't have them and I didn't see this 10-pound weight. And so I went to yank the 25-pound off the squat bar and the 10-pound came off and went straight down across the front of my foot.
Oh my God.
And I yell, yelled. Oh my gosh, it hurts so much, right? And, you know, my buddy was like, you know, oh my God, are you okay? You know, and so I bend down, you know, I bend down to kind of check it. And then I go and I sit down on a bench. I remove my shoe, I remove my sock and I take a look and I kind of wiggle my toes a bit and I think, Okay, maybe they're broken, maybe they're not. I don't know. Put on my sock, put on my shoe. I complete the circuit.
Why did you do that?
That a lot of people say that, though, like when they've broken something of the foot. Like sometimes they carry on running or they just like walk casually back home. Like, it's strange.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, you know, it wasn't a macho thing necessarily. despite the fact that my foot felt like hell, my body was rearing to go.
Right, okay. You probably had a lot of adrenaline pumping through at that time. You wouldn't have felt the pain so much, I guess.
Right. I had a lot of adrenaline pumping. And so we completed that circuit. And then we went and tossed a ball, a 15-pound ball around. Played the try to catch this game. And threw that as hard as we could back and forth to each other. And then we did some core workout stuff and some more arm stuff and some more weight training stuff. And then we took a half mile walk, cool down walk around the track. and during that time. And this is the part that really sucks about not being able to do the Gorg Challenge. It's like someone flipped a switch. And it said, okay, I'm ready for this. Like, I could do the Gorg Challenge right now. I'd be, like, on completely. Let's go. You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's the sucky part, right? Is that if it wasn't for the fact that my doctor specifically, actually not the doctor, but the specialist. So I went and saw a doctor a couple of days later. And they, you know, they took x-rays and yeah, it's definitely broken and you've got some displacement, i.e. the toes are not exactly aligned perfectly.
Because you carried on doing a ridiculous workout afterwards.
That's probably why. That could be the reason, but it also could have just been the way the weight broke it and, you know, came across it. But he immediately like sent me off that same day to see a specialist. Well, the specialist he sent me to was an active triathlete, like real serious triathlete, and he, like before I even got checked in, the receptionist took the X-rays, brought them back to him. He actually came out and talked with me in the lobby, and he said, basically, I know I'm an athlete too. I had a similar break, not on my toes, but a very similar break along the, I forget the bone he called it, but the kind of basically the knuckle bone. And, he said, I'm a triathlete and I take this stuff very seriously. So I know that what I'm about to tell you is going to break your heart and it's probably going to be the hardest thing that you've ever done. Baby, this foot. Do not even think about running. He said, you're going to feel better. You're going to feel good enough to run in 3 weeks. Don't. You won't be healed yet, and you will screw up your foot for life. You will mess up your stride, and you will mess up your run, and you don't want to do that. Wait at least 6 weeks, and then start back slowly. Start with a fast walk. Then move up to a jog, then get back into your running game. And, he's like, I know I'm telling you, you're not going to do it, but I got to tell you anyway. And if you listen to me, you might have a chance of running right again. So I've been trying to be good. and it's been really hard. But all of that is simply to say, that like with your friend and you got talking with somebody and going through it and suddenly that all of that pain and that nervousness and that, trepidation turned into, oh my gosh, I can do this.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably could have run for three more hours and like not even noticed.
Yeah, right? Probably. It was a really, it was one of the best runs I think that we've ever done together, just because we weren't really thinking about running. It was more kind of, when we were running, it was more about kind of getting to know each other and getting to know each other's strides and how she runs and how I run. And it was only because it was getting really cold and the sun was kind of practically coming down. I was like, okay, I guess we should probably stop now. And we don't actually need to do any more, you know, than we have at this stage. So, we just went for a coffee after. It was very lovely.
Well, and that gets back to my point about it being mental, you know, that it seems like that a lot of beginning runners kind of, they give up right before that point where that switch gets flipped.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's, you know, the pain and the exhaustion and all of that stuff just disappears, and you enter into this almost euphoric sort of state.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess that was kind of the wrong word, but basically you know, they call it embracing the pain, but it's not so much that. It's
kind of more of a sense of well-being, I guess. You just kind of, yeah, you know, if everything is right. It's just a big kind of bundle of positive energy, and it's like no wrong could ever happen, I guess. But even when it was a run where we were trying for 17 miles together, and it was a really, really bad run. It was about, I think it was the week after, and for some reason neither of us were really kind of in, you know, our head wasn't in the game, and kind of we didn't start off as well. And I mean, it was a nice day, it was a beautiful day in Brighton, but we weren't really there. We both had a really stressful day and week at work, and I guess it was very difficult to kind of get into it. But having her there meant that when it got to, you know, mile 15, she was, you know, kind of pushing me along, and I was going, I don't want to do it anymore. I just want to stop now. Like, my legs are hurting. I've got a blister. So like, I'm too exhausted. Like, I don't have it in me. I can't run. And she's just like, no, we're gonna do it. We're at least gonna go for 10 more minutes, try and get another mile in, and we'll see how we feel then. And kind of, then my second wave kind of kicked in, and then she was kind of like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. Okay, let's just stop now. And I was like, no, we can do it. So we were kind of really good for each other, kind of for a training run, to, you know, for the days where, you know, we really kind of could do it, and also the days where we really struggled, because after you've been running kind of constantly for about, you know, 3 months, it really does get so boring, and it becomes a little bit of a chore. And having her there made running fun again, and it made it kind of a little bit more kind of, you know, kind of de-stressing again, like it used to, because it was really starting to kind of get on my nerves. I'd come back home and I'd be like, from work, and I'm like, I just don't want to. I don't want to have to go for a run today.
Well, and it's amazing how much just injecting fun into something can really change your mindset about that. We talked about it on an episode about Richard Feynman winning the Nobel Prize, because he decided that in order to find what he loved to do again, he needed to put the fun back into it.
Yeah.
Right. And make it fun. And to force fun into the situation. I know we're probably running long on time. But I wanted to just, you know, wrap up a couple of thoughts. First of all, so during the marathon, were you running with your friend in the marathon?
Yeah, we kind of made this pact. We were like, well, we'll run together, but if we feel like we can kind of, you know, push on, and the other one's kind of, you know, holding us back, then, you know, we'd go ahead and leave them. But we were kind of so well kind of matched that just never really became an issue throughout the whole thing.
Until the end.
Were both until that sprint finish.
Yeah,
you ran off.
So wait a second.
So you.
So how long was that sprint?
Well, I kind of started off. I mean, I think it was the last 0.2 miles, but the crowd was you know in the masses at that
right
that
right.
time, and I could hear lots of cheering. That too kind of felt like 0.2 yards in my head. Just like I've run, you know, 26 plus, you know, so far, so 0.2 miles is nothing. Well, it turns out that is actually still something. I think I was about halfway through my sprint run and I was just like, oh my god, I'm gonna die. I kind of felt like all energy was kind of sapping out of me and I was about to pass out, but I felt I couldn't slow down, definitely not, you know, close enough to get to the finish line, so I just kind of saw past it and kind of carried on. And then about 10 seconds later, you know, she made it too. I didn't even think about it. It's really selfish of me. As soon as I saw that point, it was like 800 yards or something like that. It's like I just completely zoned out and I just saw the finish line and I just wanted to get there. Nice. Also just because I've been going on for so long. Right. And I don't know if Mike said, but I've also had the most painful injury kind of throughout the whole thing, and I just kind of wanted just to stop running, so I thought just the quicker I run the sooner it'll be over.
Yeah he did mention, so like you had a bad knee injury or
I don't know the actual long name, I just know the abbreviation, but it's IT band friction syndrome. Which is this niggling little muscle that kind of goes from just below the knee through the kind of the side of the knee then to the thigh. Right. And it's kind of, it's not too bad if you're just kind of doing a short distance. It doesn't really affect kind of short distances. It's just kind of after a while it starts the stress and the strain of running really kind of starts to kind of pressurize on the muscles, and it just kind of starts pulling and becomes like this really kind of sharp shooting pain across the knee. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I'd done a really kind of big strain on it. It was meant to be just a recovery run, and it hurt so much that I couldn't physically run anymore. I got to that point. I was like, I can't run anymore. It's hurting too much. And I was kind of on the brink of tears, and I was like 2 miles away from my car, and I had to kind of just limp slowly to my car. But remember, Mike, I texted you and I was just like, I'm just walking really slowly in the rain back to my car and I can't run anymore. And I was really quite upset.
That's how every day for the past 2 weeks has felt for me. But okay, go ahead.
No, it seems a bit silly now since you've kind of got broken bones and everything. But at that time,
because, you know, the sucky thing about broken toes is that there's nothing that can be done about them. They can't even put cast on. They basically buddy tape them and send you out the door. So,
well, there's nothing that can really be done about this right. kind of neither, not immediately anyway. I mean, it's just one of the things you're kind of like, okay, just don't run. Lots of ice, you know, kind of lots of rest for about a month, and you know, hopefully it will feel better after then. But obviously I had the marathon in you know, 6 days after then, and when I went to go see the physio, he kind of taped me up and gave me a horrible and painful deep massage that also nearly left me in tears. And it was kind of like, yeah, I mean, you can run it because I know you don't want to not do it, but it's going to be really painful and it's going to be really slow and it's probably going to do more damage to you. But
even despite that, you made fairly good time for a beginner.
I mean, I was hoping for, and I had trained for 4.5 hours, but, you know, with Sian as well, she had a hip injury, and both of us were kind of like injured people, and it wasn't likely to get 4.5 hours. And when we'd got to the 13 miles and realized that we'd done almost kind of 45 minutes longer than we'd usually do at 13 miles, we kind of both realized that it was going to be a lot longer than we'd hoped. But we just kind of thought, if we just carry on running and don't stop and take a lot of, you know, a lot of Nurofen, I think I had about six.
Right.
Throughout the whole thing, which numbed the pain a lot. And we got there. But as soon as we started running, you know, mile one, and I was ready in agony, sorry, because of my knee. And I just didn't think I was going to be able to do it. But
just running
very slowly, 5 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, see, that's not too bad.
Yeah,
I mean, really, that's not too bad. For a beginner, that's not too bad.
Yeah, just I've got that... I've got that kind of dedication now to beat that time, which is why I signed for next year.
Terrific. Terrific. And, you know, you probably haven't really had this experience running with somebody, but, you know, I've recently found that running and just plain exercise can actually be quite meditative.
Yeah, definitely. Which is why I kind of continued running from the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah. And it's you know, there's a really a good post. I'm going to have to find it and find who wrote it about one thing that recently kind of changed things a little bit for me was running without music.
I prefer that sometimes. It's because, I mean, I can find it can be slightly distracting. I mean, especially if I just want to just go out and just jog for fun, then it's just nice not to have a beat to kind of put me off. I just kind of run at my own pace. And
yeah,
I mean, I probably could do that for an hour. I'd get a little bit bored. But definitely if I'm just gonna go for, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes, then that's really nice. Especially there's a really nice kind of conservational area called Knoll Park near where I live, and there's loads of kind of deers and birds, and it has the best kind of nature sounds. It's really nice to kind of run that, definitely.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, and I have a really nice, probably one of the most popular jogging streets in my city, just a couple of blocks away here, and that's what I usually jot down. I found that I didn't realize how much my stride was matching the beat.
Yeah,
and I think that's is naturally part of our it's natural synchronicity to we hear a beat, and, you know, especially, you know, Mike wouldn't know anything about this, but you and I who have rhythm, that we have, you know, kind of this natural inclination to kind of get into that rhythm. I didn't notice this until, there was a weird change in songs. I can't even remember what the two songs were. It's like, you know, like, Billy Idol's Rebel Yell to like some Radiohead song or something, right? And there's just this weird change in rhythm. And I noticed that. I noticed my stride immediately changed.
Yeah.
And matched the new beat. And it's like, oh, shoot. Darn it. I got to turn off the music. This is why I'm not, this is why I'm feeling like crap, right?
So, if you're trying to improve a time, I guess, right, and you're running, it's best to kind of go at a pace that is comfortable for you. You don't want to be slowed down or kind of go too fast because of a particular beat. So, definitely running without music, or that's why sometimes I might just listen to a podcast as I'm running, because there's no necessary beat. And also there's something there to kind of keep my mind occupied, to, you know, take my mind off the fact that I'm just running all by myself in the pouring rain.
and probably in a fair amount of pain with your injury.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really run on the injury since the marathon. I haven't actually run at all. It's been 3 weeks now, just over 3 weeks, and I haven't run at all, just because I just want it to, be fixed. I want to be kind of cured of it. And I don't want it to be kind of any kind of issue for me. I mean, I probably will start running again at some point this week, because I haven't really had any pain in it for a few days now. And before, just walking down the stairs, and it would really start hurting, and I haven't had that. So I might be okay. Yeah, we'll see.
Take it slow.
Yeah.
But, you know, that said, I can tell you for sure that I have been really, it's been hard. Because it can become really addictive, running again. And seeing other people out there running, like I said, I'm two blocks away from, you know, one of the most popular streets to run in the city, and the kind of the main part of the Twin Cities Marathon.
And so there's people running all the time. And I've, you know, since my injury, I've just been kind of finding myself kind of
twiddling your thumbs, I guess.
Well, and jealous, like, yeah. Like meanly jealous. Like, I hate these. I hate them. They're doing what I want to do. Damn the, how come they can work? I can't, yeah. You know, and so I'm, you know, I would imagine that, I don't know, not being able to run and not being able to even walk to my full capacity has been incredibly frustrating.
Which is why the tapering part of any kind of, you know, long endurance sport, I guess, in my case, obviously the marathon run, that's why the tapering part is so difficult and so hard, because it's when you're meant to kind of dramatically just reduce everything that you've done. And not only would I have just probably been running kind of, you know, a mile here, a mile there anyway, but I wasn't able to run at all. And to have the thought of, you know, the marathon coming up and not being able to do anything about it and just having to kind of sit there and kind of just make do with yoga or anything like that, that was really, really difficult. And it made me very crazy.
Exactly.
There was this really good article that was kind of passed around around Twitter the week before, and it was meant for the London Marathon, but also it came to use for me, you know, tapering as well for the Brighton Marathon. And it was just, it was like a really good pickup about kind of tapering and how, you know, you think your mind is, you know, knows, your body knows that it's ready because you've done everything, you've done all the training, you know you're physically ready, but it's just the mental bit of it all, just kind of knowing, because if you're not doing anything to prepare for it, you're thinking, well, I'm not ready then. I need to run.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see if I can, you know, run another 20 miles just so I know I'm ready for it. But of course, that would have been no good for my body, and I probably would have, you know, got to mile 10 and just completely zoned out. But it was a really, really difficult week. I mean, on the Friday, a couple of days before the marathon, I mean, I was at work for about 10 minutes and I just broke down in tears. I didn't know why. I was just like, I don't know what's happening, but I was just so stressed out, and my mind just kept on beating me up about it, just saying, you know, you're injured and you're not ready and it's going to be the worst thing ever. It was nothing like my mind had, you know, built up to be. I mean, it was the best experience I think I've ever had.
I think that's, you know, a really good place to leave this, because that has so many applications elsewhere in life.
Yeah.
The idea that how important it is, despite everything that you're being driven to do, how important it is to take a step back, to have that tapering period, to reflect. And reflection is something I've been talking a lot about lately in conversation with another friend of mine. So I don't think that I think we do a lot of reflection, but we don't necessarily take the time to notice it. And that a big part of tapering is really about that. But we really should wrap. Sammy, I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you coming on and talking about this.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's lovely speaking to you.
Yes, it's lovely speaking with you. And, you know, I don't know. You're not an internet goddess that, you know, that, like, you know, has a million things to promote. But at the very least, you want to give people, you know, where to follow you on Twitter and things like that, so they can keep up with your running activities.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. It's just at Sammy Furs, SamiFurse. And actually, why I am on here, there is a running site that that Sian, my little running buddy, has just been doing.
Oh, nice.
I say that I should have been more prepared. It's called dashingdivas.com, but I think there's like an actual dash in between that. Hold on.
So dashing dash.
It will be in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it.
Put it in the show notes. But yeah, no, she blogs about running and stuff on that, and I kind of do a post here like now and then. So yeah, go to that.
Terrific. Thanks so much, Sammy. I appreciate you being on. And thanks so much for letting us ramble on about a subject you have absolutely no interest in. That's
okay. I went for a run.
All right. So next time we're going to have you on, we're talking about Bikram Yoga, right?
Yes.
Stay away from that madness.
All right, Sammy. Well, thanks a lot. And Mike, we'll talk.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.